Even though you've retired from the game, Tim, does Wimbledon still hold that certain magic for you?
Oh, absolutely. I stopped playing nearly 7 years ago, but I'm on the tournament board at Wimbledon, and every time I go back there, it's such a special place. It brings back a lot of memories, and it's still the best tournament in the world.
You're back with the BBC commentary team again this year?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I'm a busy boy those couple of weeks, but I love every minute of it.
I can only imagine, though, Tim, that commentary is one thing, playing is another thing. You must actually miss the buzz of Wimbledon, do you not?
I think it's fair to say that, you know, when I see centre court and I see it during the championships, the thought of going out there and playing would be fantastic, but that is the final piece of the puzzle. That's the final 1%. And the other 99%, all the tournaments, the training, the travel, the dedication, the sacrifice that goes with it, I really don't miss it at all. I sort of joke and I say that if I knew retirement was this good, I would have stopped 10 years ago.
But when you did retire in 2007, 7 years ago, as you said, there must have been a huge void in your life because tennis was your life for so many years. How did you cope with that? How did you fill that void?
Well, it's a really good question, and there wasn't a big void in my life because I have a lot of other things going on, and certainly with my wife and my three children, we just had our third a couple of weeks before I retired, so that certainly kept us busy, and I have a lot of other things in my life going on. I like playing golf, I've sort of been learning to ski a little bit. So there's plenty to fill that void. And, you know, I can see how that if you stop from a profession, certainly a sport, and you haven't got something to fill that void, then it could be, you know, a difficult time.
It sounds an ideal lifestyle that you have nowadays.
It's pretty good. I'm a lucky boy, you know, I don't have too many complaints.
Outside of a few notable performances from the likes of yourself and Andy Murray, the UK doesn't seem capable of providing world-class players. Why do you think that is?
That's a good question. I think you really have to go back to the grassroots of the game. And we have fantastic athletes in this country. And you look at our performance in 2012 Olympics, you know, it was an incredible performance. And those athletes, when you go back to their younger years at the age of 7, 8, 9 and 10, those are the people that make up the sports teams at school. It will be the same people that are in the rugby team as the football team, the cricket team, the hockey team. And they'll be the ones that are good tennis players. So tennis is challenge. Is to get some of those best athletes playing tennis.
Yeah.
But I don't think we do a good job of that. We lose those athletes to the other sports, and that's why we've had a lot more success in other sports than we've had in tennis. You know, you give Andy Murray a ball to throw, kick or catch, and he's very good at it, and he plays tennis, and that's one of the reasons why he's a great player. So the challenge is really to get more of the best athletes at a young age playing tennis.
There does seem to be a perception, though, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, tennis is not really for your average family. There seems to be a sort of veneer of elitism surrounding the game. Like, tennis clubs are not readily accessible in every town. Is that fair or unfair to say?
I think it was fair, and I think it is something that is, you know, a lot of time and money's been invested to make the game more accessible. And you know, certainly with the Robinsons initiative that I'm involved in this year, you know, we really want to make the game accessible. We want more and more families to get together and enjoy the game and not necessarily worry about trying to play at a club. We want them to be able to play at home and use different games. And I think having Judy Murray on board this year is fantastic because she obviously did a good job of encouraging her two boys to play the game.
And you'll be with Judy Murray, who of course is Andy Murray's mother.
That's right.
Maybe you would suggest to her that she might say to her son, smile a little bit more, Andy. Let us look as if you're enjoying the game.
He loves the game, but he's not a performing sea lion out there. You know, he's out there to do a job, and you know, he's pretty tough on himself. He can get frustrated at times, but you know, his number one priority is to win, and you know, he's very, very good at that. And it's important that we've got British players to watch, and the problem is that, you know, he's the only player because the void behind him in terms of elite performance is too big. The number two British ranked male player is probably 140 in the world, and that's the issue that we need to correct.
Yeah, with Wimbledon just round the corner and with kids always wanting to emulate what they see on television, this is the time to fire young people's imagination about the game, is it not?
Oh, you're absolutely right, and this is the time when there's, you know, massive interest in the game, and you've got the French Open on this week, but then it's straight into the grass court season. You've got Queens next week, and 2 weeks on Monday Wimbledon starts, and so with Andy being the defending champion, it is a great time to inspire people, and that's where I think the you know, the Robinsons campaign fits in really well, and you know, hopefully we can get more and more kids and families playing tennis.
Will such a scheme, such a campaign, can it be rolled out over Northern Ireland, for example?
Why not? Yeah, I mean, tennis is the beauty of it. It's a global game. It can be played by anyone, and it's a game that you can play for your whole life. So I'm a huge fan of tennis being played everywhere because it's a sport that I love. It's given me so much, and hopefully we can keep inspiring future generations.
Do you still lift up the racket yourself?
Occasionally. I'll play on Saturday, but I'm actually playing an event in Scotland just before Wimbledon. We've got a seniors event that McEnroe's playing in, Goran Ivanišević and a few others. So I normally play a couple of events a year, but that's enough for me.
Obviously, with Andy's victory last year, there will be intense interest this year to see if he can repeat his performance. Can he do it, do you think?
I think he can. If you'd have asked me that question 4 weeks ago, I said I think it's very unlikely because he was struggling with his back, and after the surgery at the end of last year, he hadn't really had a run of sort of tournament play where he had got his teeth into some good matches. But certainly the way he's played in Paris over the last 10 days, he's had some fantastic performances. So he plays Rafa Nadal, and that's probably the biggest challenge in tennis, trying to beat him over five sets on clay at Roland Garros. But irrespective of what happens in that match, I really think the foundation is there for him to have another brilliant run at Wimbledon.
Well, fingers crossed for him. Tim, it was a joy talking to you. Thank you so much indeed.
Thanks so much for having me.
Enjoy Wimbledon.
Will do.